The Bloomington City Council has signaled it's ready to lease a Westside Park to the Boys and Girls Club so it can build a new home there. GLT's Ryan Denham has more with Bloomington's mayor.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal joined Sound Ideas on Tuesdays following their regular and special council meetings. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for coming on Sound Ideas.
Great to be here, Ryan, as usual.
Aldermen seem ready and willing to lease 3 acres of the city's Sunnyside Park to the Boys and Girls Club. The nonprofit wants to construct a new, larger building there to meet growing demand for their services. What do you think of that plan?
I think this is an excellent idea and long overdue. It actually started, there was some beginnings of this, actually during the end of Judy Markowitz's second term. And I stumbled across this a few months after I was first elected mayor. And I said, well, let's do something. Let's go forward. I'm not quite sure why. I guess there was the council and the previous mayor were not interested in pursuing this. But I think it's fantastic because the West Side, let's face it, has gotten the very, very short end of the stick when it comes to parks and recreation facilities. And if, you know, not just like in the Eagles and, the McGraw Park, which is kind of like the Taj Mahal, which are wonderful parks, but the parks on the West Side pale in comparison to the extent that they exist. Sunnyside, for example, we just have recently put some equipment on Sunnyside. But even 2 years ago, about the only thing you could do in Sunnyside Park other than play baseball was drug deals. You couldn't even play basketball. There was no water. There was no equipment. And it really was a travesty and an injustice, massive injustice to our community. So I'm very happy that not only are we putting emphasis on the West Side, but public-private partnerships where we're taking private dollars and public land that we're leasing at a nominal amount, that we are really going to be making a difference in people's lives and the entire community. And I think it speaks well for the council and it speaks well for this community.
And to that point you just made about the West Side, a Boys and Girls Club board member, Holly Hauska, spoke to Alderman last night about why this project is needed. I'm going to play a little audio for you.
We have an epidemic of children at risk in our hometown, and we need to face that truth. We are a wonderful community, and there is a very unaddressed population on our West Side especially that really needs our help.
And she also talked about the links between literacy and high school completion rate, and then between high school completion rate and future success, you know, not going to prison, for example. So what do you think of that point that she was making, and are there other things that the city could be doing that are very much like this?
Yes. Well, first of all, she's absolutely right. And second of all, there are lots of things we could be doing that we're not doing. Unfortunately, most of them cost money. Some of them cost a marginal amount of money. But give you an example. Just in a few weeks, I'm going to the U.S. Conference of Mayors. It happens twice a year, and this is the one that rotates. It'll be in Boston. And there are always multiple panels on at-risk youth or at-risk youth summer job programs. That seems to be one of the ways that you go forward. And at-risk youth are usually defined as people who've had some kinds of issues and are somewhere between 12 or 13 and maybe 18, 19 years old. And the extent to which you put money up front produces massive rewards in the long term, especially if it's handled correctly. And that's kind of what the Y does. The Y doesn't just come over and, you know, just shoot hoops. They help you with your ACT prep. ACT prep, as I had mentioned, or they help you with your homework. They help you with other family issues. The young woman who spoke last night, who was 17, says this is like her second home. For some of the kids, then I've been there many times since I've been mayor. It, in many ways, it's probably their only home. It may not be the place they sleep, but it's probably their only home. And so, yes, there's a lot more that we can do. I think we should put a lot more into, as I say, summer jobs. I think we need to also put more into recreation. I think we should upgrade O'Neill Pool, many things that are not just recreation and quality of life, but they pay off in the long term in helping us keep our crime rate down and, frankly, doing right by our youth. I think it's not an exaggeration to say that we have neglected the youth of the West Side in this community for generations.
The city seemed pretty willing and able to work with the Boys and Girls Club on this project. So why couldn't something similar have been done with the YMCA in Bloomington Normal to keep that YMCA generally in that area?
Oh, we tried for years, or I should say, well, by we, I plus other staff members and economic development people tried. We went round and round with lots of different options, and it's not that the Y was not interested. In fact, I really wanted them south of the library and wanted a partnership with an expanded library, maybe a children's library, as well as expanded Y. And we once we bought the Sugar Creek plant, we owned all of that material. We just had to relocate Public Works. So I shouldn't say material. Or we owned all that land. And so there were lots of issues of infrastructure and drainage and space. And so the Y needed a certain amount of space, and that was not really going to accommodate that. So it's certainly not for lack of trying. Sometimes public-private partnerships work, like this one. Sometimes the needs of the private sector are not quite what you're able to offer.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm joined by Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Also last night, a new Bloomington Police Chief, Clay Wheeler, was sworn in. He replaces Brendan Hefner, who left to become the U.S. Marshal for the Central District of Illinois. What did you think of Clay Wheeler's appointment to police chief?
I think he's an outstanding pick. He's been with the Bloomington Police Department for nearly 30 years. He has broad respect from all parts of the community and certainly within the police force and within the staff. Now, just to clarify a few things, the timetable on this hiring was accelerated by virtue of the fact that we only found out a week ago yesterday that the U.S. Marshal's office wanted Brendan to start yesterday. So we needed to do something about an interim and possible long-term police chief, either within a few days or very quickly. And so I have to give Steve Rasmussen, our interim city manager, a lot of credit. Instantly, he went to Clay, kind of vetted Clay, talked with others. And not that Clay needed a whole lot of vetting. I think we all pretty much know him. I've worked with him, obviously, for over 5 years as mayor on everything from liquor issues to at-risk youth issues to improving minority a neighborhood and police relationships. So I think Clay will do an outstanding job.
And in talking with interim city manager Steve Rasmussen, why didn't you appoint Clay Wheeler as an interim police chief? Why did you jump right to that, making him the permanent police chief and swearing him in?
Well, that was actually the decision. I mean, there was an advice and consent necessary with the interim city manager and the city council because he's interim. If it were another situation, that is, if we had an actual city manager, the city manager can make department head appointments without the advice and consent of the council, although it would be the unusual city manager that would make this kind of appointment without consulting the council. In this particular case, we seem to have an obvious internal choice, and because of the instability in some of the other departments and changes in department heads. We've got a new department head in community development. We're going to need a new. We have a new department head in finance. We're going to need a new one in water. There was some concern that, well, at least in police, we need some degree of stability.
Since we last spoke, the Normal Town Council has now passed a welcoming community ordinance on immigration. It does a bunch of things, including making Normal police officers get approval from their police chief prior to collaborating or communicating with federal immigration officials. Town employees can't ask about someone's citizenship or immigration status unless it's required by law or court order or part of an investigation. So how do you think Normal's votes will impact what may actually happen in Bloomington?
Obviously, we've been at this a longer time than the town of Normal, and that some of it is the culture in Bloomington. We have a procedural culture where we're obsessed with process at times, and this has been really 14 to 16 months in the making. Normal managed to do it in a few weeks, and I think, we did have a discussion of the city council back in December, and the instructions were essentially to bring us something back that's viable, that legal would vet, that our police chief would vet, and we had something by just shortly after the first of the year. And then we had divisions in the council. Some of the council wanted to bring it up immediately, others in the council didn't want to bring it up at all. We then, in February, had five city council members sign and say that they didn't want it to be brought up. Now, at the end of the day, I could have brought it up anyway, given the nature of the the contentious nature of it. I thought it was not a bad idea for us to circle back and to see if we could come up with some language. This welcoming city ordinance, at least in Bloomington, largely basically clarifies what we currently do, our current practice. And that is, we don't, now there have been some emails that have been exposed where BPD, Bloomington Police Department, has communicated with ICE, but is not supposed to directly communicate with ICE unless they communicate with us. And if you see a crime, we do not care about your immigration status. Please report it. If you are a victim of a crime, we don't care about your immigration status. Please report it. So I think that is an important symbolic ordinance for us to pass. I will be speaking with, in fact, Mr. Rasmussen in just a few minutes, and we will talk about when we will bring a version, our version of a welcoming city ordinance to our city council. And I think it speaks well for our changing diverse community.
And do you think that the normal town council doing it first, does that change the political calculus for your council? Do you think it's going to make it easier or harder for you to?
It doesn't make it harder. I would have liked Bloomington to be first. I would have liked Bloomington to be the first to do, frankly, the right thing, what I would regard as the clear moral American thing to do in a nation of immigrants and in a nation, in a community where we have some people who are, frankly, quite afraid. And so I wish we had been the first to step up to the plate, but we're not. So at this point, it certainly does not hurt us in our process. And so I'm guessing maybe this will come up in June. I'll speak to Mr. Rasmussen about that in terms of what we have coming up in the pipeline.
And Normal's welcoming community ordinance, it's pretty deferential to state and federal law, but it does explicitly state some principles that are important to the pro-immigrant community, similar to the ones you just spelled out. For example, Normal police can't investigate someone solely for an immigration violation, just to give one example.
And neither Bloomington nor Normal does that under its standard operating procedure anyway.
If you have seen the language that Normal passed, what did you think of that language that they ended up with? And is that the type of language you would want to see in yours?
It's the type of language. It wouldn't likely be identical language to what we would use in Bloomington, but it would be very, very similar.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm in studio with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Mayor Renner, last time you were in the studio, about 3 weeks ago, the Bloomington City Council had just approved changes to the city's liquor laws. Basically, it'll stop any future store from selling packaged alcohol if it's located within 100 feet of a church, a school, a preschool, or daycare. Previously, only alcohol-driven businesses such as taverns were prohibited from being located near churches and schools. So ultimately, you're not going to veto that, correct? That's just going to proceed?
I actually signed it. I signed it, I believe, the day that I was on.
Okay. With you. So that's a done deal. Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that that is the end of the day. The Liquor Commission is going to talk about some of the issues. Apparently, some of the information that we were given was not entirely accurate. We do not exactly mirror the ordinances in Normal, for example. There's a difference between building to building and lot line to lot line. And so these are some of the issues that we're going to examine in a little greater detail. One of the things that we don't want to do is, I think generally speaking, is to change our liquor ordinances for an entire community because of the difficulties or the undesirability of a particular project.
You serve as the city's liquor commissioner. You've got a liquor commission that has two other people on it. So this issue about, you know, where you can sell alcohol, it came up, you know, prior to the council vote 3 weeks ago. But it got through the Liquor Commission with, you know, unanimous endorsement from the three of you. So I guess, how did that happen? Why didn't you raise the concerns that you raised on the air with us during that Liquor Commission? Why didn't you stop it there?
I did want to raise the issues, all of the issues that we've talked about. There's a difference between raising the issues and stopping it so it doesn't even get to the city council. The city council could conceivably, for example, the city council really can't stop something if the city manager and mayor want to put it on the agenda. They can vote it down, right? But they, but what they certainly can do is to put something on an agenda. So if the mayor doesn't put something on an agenda, they can get people to sign a an aldermanic request form and put it on as well. So I felt that it was necessary, since it was a public controversy, to bring to the council with some concerns that were part of the record.
One of the points you made on GLT about 3 weeks ago was that the Liquor Commission is already equipped to stop a licensed applicant when there is neighborhood concerns. I mean, the commission can already do that. But
we can.
Isn't this an example, though, of the Liquor Commission coming across what you think is a bad idea and not stopping it? Like, why did it get through, I guess? I still ask that question. If it's something you had very serious concerns
about. Well, what we did was, is it was sent on to the city council. The video poker moratorium, okay, was sent on to the city council. The lot line to lot line 200-foot restriction was sent on to the city council. Some of the information, actually, about its consequences we found out, you know, subsequent to that. But it was sent on to the city council for the city council to consider and to debate.
So for the very important stuff like this, this kind of high-profile, potentially controversial.
High-profile policy issues, yes. Now, we could – now, if we said absolutely – you know, if it was a negative recommendation, it wouldn't go anywhere. It was either neutral or a positive recommendation with concerns that then goes to the city council. As I say, another way that the city council could have done this is to circulate their own petition, and I'm sure they would have.
Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much, Ryan. Great.
I'm Ryan Denham.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join Sound Ideas on Tuesdays following their regular and special council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Town of Normal Mayor Chris Goose. This is Sound Ideas.